Jeremy and Joe continues now
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe on the Huntington Bank Bad Boy. Our soccer sweats are done. Profitable day for your boys. We know football. We almost swept it if it weren't for stupid VAR. I hate technology. I hate AI. We would have won. We would have swept it. But Barcelona beats Atletico Madrid 2-1. So we win the Barca money line there, but we lost the over-under. But then we won the over-under in PSG and Liverpool. So 2-1 on the day. I don't have the figures in front of me. I want to say it's probably three-quarters of a unit, roughly that.
Okay.
And I forget what we were up. I think we're up slightly. I think we're up like a quarter of a unit on the year.
Yes.
So that probably gets us up to roughly a unit. I'll have the full update tomorrow. But roughly a unit on the year. Okay. A unit advantage. Look at us winning you money. We've never done anything for you. We won you money. We're up a unit. If you had $1 million unit size, then we would have won you $1 million.
That's true.
So really, you should, as long as we're in the black, you're deciding how much you want to win.
I can do that math.
And then we were 3-0 yesterday? No, we were 2-1.
2-1 yesterday.
But we're up like, what, a unit and a half, something like that? That's so let's just go 2 units on the week. We're up like 2 units on the week. So 2 units on the week, 1 unit on the year.
And we're 4-2-1 in soccer.
We know football.
We know football.
Glenn Davis should have us on as expert guests.
I mean, we'll be a lot of sweats of the day for the World Cup.
I mean, we're sitting here. We got the Barcelona on the money line right. Mm-hmm. We got the PSG Liverpool over-under correct. Mm-hmm. We're talking about Houston area high school soccer being the soccer capital of the world. Has there been anybody who knows soccer on these airwaves better than us?
I don't think so.
Glenn, anytime. The DMs are open. Glenn Davis will be at Senate Avenue Brewing live today, by the way. It's always a fun time out there. We went out there time or two. Love it out there. Great beer, great food. The people out there are phenomenal. Great ownership. Glenn's going to be out there live. You don't want to miss it. So swing on by Glenn Davis and tell him that he is the third most preeminent soccer expert on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2 behind Branham and Joe George, who were, would you say we were in soccer?
4-2-1.
Is Glenn giving out soccer winners on you know, soccer matters?
Not sure. Don't think so.
We should change the name of our show to Money Matters. I think that's already been used before. Any texts that are worth mentioning?
No.
Any Twitchers that are worth mentioning? Are they as useless as ever?
They're pretty much as useless
that's
as ever.
That's what I figured.
Yeah.
That's what I figured. We'll get to these top questions ahead of the draft here in a little bit. But, Joe, is there anybody you're crushing on for the Texans draft? Any Texans draft crushes that you
Yeah, I think have? I think in a dream world for the Texans, I really like Peter Woods, the defensive tackle.
Is that
tackle
the dude from Family Guy?
From Clemson.
Oh, okay.
I don't think he's going to be there at 28, but I'm hoping that there's these defensive tackles – fall a little bit. I was reading something that there's some belief that he might be the only defensive tackle that goes in the first round. So if that's the case,
I have a hard time believing that.
I kind of do too.
The Ohio State guy, and then look, if somebody believes in the feat of that Miami dude
of Caleb Banks,
yeah,
that
dude's a freak. If he didn't have health injuries or health concerns,
he's definitely.
I think he's a top 25 pick.
Yeah, absolutely. He's one of the most interesting players I think in this draft because he could go and. Either that in his normal range, if you believe in the medicals, or he could slip easily into the second round. Might be like the Texans could have a shot at him with their third pick in the draft. Honestly,
well, how do you feel about Bane? Not you know the short arms, dinosaur arms,
but then also the whole auto accident. It's a little strange to me. All of it, like it happened right. 2 years ago. The family and the statements of the girl who died has been. Very supportive of Reuben Bane.
Oh,
it
really?
Looks like in the quotes they've given that they've forgiven him. It's like the teams clearly knew about this.
Yeah,
like this is not something that like the teams were not aware of. It was just something the media was not aware of. And now look, it's my least favorite part of the draft is guys who are very good at this who go on TV. They admit, like I love Daniel Jeremiah, but he admits that he and I get it. He doesn't want to be the reason why a player's draft stock falls. So there are things that they know, whether it's injuries, character concerns, that they don't talk about during the draft. And they wait until a guy starts falling in the draft to start talking about them. The teams knew about this. this does make me feel like he could fall.
The teams know about it, but do the mock drafters know about it?
No.
And if they do know about it, are they reacting accordingly with their mock? So, like, even, like, because this is what I saw, too. It's like, oh, the Bane stuff. It comes out with the crash. And, like, oh, people are, you know, overreacting on Twitter. And then the reporters are like, well, the teams have already knew this. It's not going to change anything. Yeah, but the mock drafters know this. Because I do think that Reuben Bane is going to fall from where current projections have them at. It doesn't matter if the NFL teams knew that, right? They haven't had a draft yet. Like, we have nothing to work on in terms of them sliding or not in an NFL draft, because an NFL draft only happens once a year, and it hadn't happened yet. It happens next week. So I do think that Reuben Bain's going to slide further than where he's currently being projected, but I don't think it's going to be far. I don't think he's going to take, like, this Laremy Tunsil nosedive whenever he had, you know, a gas mask on.
Yeah, because I haven't seen, I guess I haven't looked much, but, like, the last one I see from here from The Athletic was done April 8th. That's after this news that we all found out, where they still have Reuben Bain going 7 to the Commanders, which is lower than a lot of it's been anyways, because that's an arm length thing. I would imagine some of the mock drafters know, but not all of them.
Yeah,
but it doesn't feel like we've seen him plummet.
But if they know, are they reacting accordingly to your point about, like, Jeremiah saying he doesn't want to be the reason a prospect falls?
Probably not.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So I don't know how far he goes. Like,
I think he goes somewhere around 10. I don't think it's going to be this huge drop.
Well, no, and there's teams in that range that they also might think it's worth the risk.
Right. And it's not, how much of a risk is it? Or was it just this one accident anomaly where, you know, you learn some lessons?
I mean, Jalen Carter still won the top 10, right?
And Jalen Carter's, I think, was more egregious, not to, like, you know, bring any, you know, one is worse than the other. And, he fled the scene.
Yeah.
You know?
No, 100%.
Like, and it was super recent to the draft as well.
Yeah, it was. I think we had, like, just... Like, I think it was, like, within, like, the months before.
Now, Carter probably went lower than he would have.
Absolutely.
If that incident didn't happen.
And there were teams that passed on him because of it.
People thought Jalen Carter was a better draft prospect than Will Anderson.
Yeah. Like,
and he's been really good.
He has been.
He hadn't been as good as Anderson. They play different positions, so you can't, you know, compare stats. But
no, but where Bain goes in the draft is a big question at this point.
Just what's, like, your over-under on him? I wonder what Vegas has him at.
I would probably put him... I'm going to go like 8.5.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that's where Vegas will have them.
Yeah.
I don't know. It might just be a no play for me. That might be our sweats of the day next Thursday. Just a bunch of NFL draft props.
Oh, I like that.
I love NFL draft props.
Reuben Bain. So I'm just looking here. These are go like top, like, for each draft spot. I mean, he's not under plus 1,000 on anything in the top 5. Player over unders, I'll find it.
Yeah, it's whatever. We can talk about it later. The only crush is that I don't have any.
It's 8.5.
You nailed it.
Yep.
We know Vegas.
It's minus 320.
So he's a heavy favorite to go in top 8.5.
No.
Oh, over.
Over.
Oh, I don't like that. That's not enough value. And the value might be. What's so, you to go under?
Plus 230.
That might be the value.
Yeah. But that makes me feel like they're reacting. And Vegas always is a step ahead.
Yeah, but they're also going to adjust to the line. Like, was the panic of the fans like, oh, he's going to drop, where he's really not going to drop, and then were they adjusting the line?
Yeah, but no, next Thursday we should do a bunch of this.
Yeah, I think we should. My draft crushes really are all U of H related. I'm very biased. You know this. I don't have it. Like, first round, I don't really have, like, these, like, bona fide crushes. There's a lot of players I like in that area. But guys that I like late... Tanner Koziel, as you know, I think he'd be a perfect fit for this team. Mm-hmm. Catch radius through the roof. He is a contested catch maker. You know, he's got some flaws. You know, he's not considered like a wonderful blocker. People think that he gets tackled too easily for his size, which I think those are fair concerns. But you're not going to find somebody who catches the ball in traffic better than Tanner Koziel. Good luck finding a bigger catch radius than Tanner Koziel. And do you know what I like from my tight ends, especially in the red zone, Joe? I like big targets, and I like guys who catch the football.
That makes sense.
That's what I like. He would be C.J. Stroud's best friend. I don't think they have a lot in common, but he would be his best friend. And then you also I really like, who I think would be a swarmy. Not that dude that Aaron Wilson said is swarmy from LSU, but I kind of like A.J. Halsey. A.J. Halsey, LSU. He was a U of H transfer, went to LSU. I think he would be phenomenal in this system. He feels like a D'Amico Ryans kind of guy. I could see the Texans drafting safety at some point. Not super early. Like, maybe not even first two rounds. But is Reed Blankenship the future next to Kalen Bullock? Probably not. Plus, you need depth. Like, you need depth. And I think they could use some safety depth.
Man,
I think
AJ, point, like,
I'm an AJ Halsey fan. And look, I'm not crazy about Reed Blankenship either. Although I do think Philly was using him out of position last year after watching film on him.
What's Bullock's long-term with the Texans?
I think he'll be re-signed.
Okay.
So I think they'll re-sign Bullock. Because okay. I don't think he's a dude that's going to break the bank. Safety's not a position that really breaks the bank unless you're like elite, like a Kyle Hamilton type. Yeah. I don't think Bullock's going to be asking for that sort of money. I think Bullock's a Texan long-term.
Okay.
Like, I think Bullock has a better chance to be a Texan long-term than both corners have a chance to be Texan long-term.
Lassiter and Stingley?
Yeah, because I don't think you can pay both Lassiter and Stingley.
No, I don't think you can either.
So you're going to have to make a decision there which one you keep.
I will say, like,
if
it's not Koziel, I really do like Eli Raritan from Notre Dame.
Oh, okay. Of course, it's a Notre Dame guy.
You've H-guy, I'm a Notre Dame
you
guy.
People and your biases.
I think he would be a good fit here, too, honestly.
I don't know his game that well.
It's very similar. Like, he's a good blocker, good catch radius. Like, he didn't get in the end zone last year, but it's not his fault. But I think he'd be a good, like, I think he's being projected, like, in, like, the late third round. Right now, I've seen him going with, like, those comp picks in the third. So, like, maybe you can slide into the fourth round. You can find him there. But he's one, too, that I like.
Really? Yeah, he's probably a better prospect than Koziel, then. Because Koziel is, like, he's kind of slipping. Koziel's going, like, I haven't seen him in in a while.
Didn't he have a big senior bowl, though?
He had a big senior bowl, but he's, like, every top prospect that, you know, these you know, the Jordan Reeds of the world and Bucky Brooks of the world and Bruglers of the world. Yeah. They'll do these positional break. Like, they'll rank each player by position, right? So they'll have the top seven tight ends, top whatever. And Koziel's, like, always at the bottom of, like, top tight ends. He's, like, somewhere in the 7 to 10 range. So I think you can get Koziel, like, fifth, sixth round.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at – I just pulled up a from
I talked to Lance about Koziel, too, you know.
I just pulled up Chad Reuter's five-round mock draft, and he does not
– Motor Reuter. I can't
– I don't see him here in the fifth.
That. Yeah, I'm not a bigger Chad Reuter mock guy. No, I'm not.
What's your go-to?
Who's my go-to mock draft guy? Probably Daniel Jeremiah. Yeah. I think Daniel Jeremiah is the best in the business. Lance is very good. I think Daniel Jeremiah is a better mocker. I think Lance is a better evaluator. Yeah.
I think for me it's Jeremiah and then Traeger.
I don't know if they did it this year. I need to go check, actually. I usually do this during draft week. I'll just go listen to a bunch of podcasts during draft week. Last year, Lance and Daniel Jeremiah did a podcast together.
Oh, really?
Phenomenal.
I always listen to his 2-hour press conference.
Oh, yeah. Those are good.
It's so long, but it's so good.
That's how I found Daniel Jeremiah with Lance, actually. I was mowing the grass last year, and I was listening to Jeremiah's press conference. Okay. And then when I was done, like, it just went to the next podcast, and I was like, Lance, and I didn't realize it at first. I was like, I know this. Who is this guy? I know who this is.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, we're with Lance. I was like, oh, it's Lance. I was like, that's cool.
That's our guy.
That's our guy. Yeah. That's why I knew his voice.
Yeah.
Because he's a Radio Hall of Famer.
He is a Hall of Famer.
713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Pete, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up, Pete?
Hey, guys. Hope y'all are doing great today.
Yep.
NFL draft. The questions that come to mind to me are, the first one being Jeremiah Love, top running back in the draft. How high does he go in round one?
Four.
Some people will say top 10 with – some going as far as saying probably top five. I think Tennessee was interested. The other one, Ty Simpson, will he be the next quarterback to go after Mendoza, which is obviously going to the Raiders at number one? And then finally, the last question is that Bungling Brothers Circus up in Dallas. I know Jerry's got another head-scratching move planned on draft day, but he's got two number ones. Really need some defensive help. Does he go for Sonny Styles or Reuben Bain, as you guys were talking about? Or is he going to make yet another what the hell is he doing type of move? Also hearing that Pickens might get moved on draft day, but that's always a question for me at least, and always brings drama to the NFL. That's Jerry's business. Anyway, I want to get your thoughts. I'll hang up and listen. Have a good one.
Thanks, Pete. Jeremiah Love over-under right now in Vegas is 5.5. It's -165 on the under.
I'm on the record that if I'm Tennessee, I'm taking him at 4. Like, we need to give Cam Ward help, and we need the best offense we can get. Meanwhile, he's being considered the best offensive prospect in this draft by a large margin. Why wouldn't you just take him at 4?
I would take him at 4.
Like, what do we – like, let's localize this. What have the Texans been telling you all offseason how they're going to help their quarterback, C.J. Stroud?
They're going to run the ball.
They want a strong running game.
Mm-hmm.
How can you help Cam Ward? Strong running game. We need offense. He's the best player in the draft. How do you pass up on him?
I don't know. I mean, like, and even like you look at like having Daboll there as the OC. Like, he knows what it was like to have Saquon with Daniel Jones and how much that helped him. Like, and even last year with Scattered, but like when he was healthy, it like it helped out Jackson Dart.
And I would take him four.
And Sala was same thing with Breece Hall. Like, I think Love goes four. Before, like, even in the offseason, I thought three was in play. I'm not sure it is now with, like, I know, I think Algier's contract is only a year with Arizona. But, like, I wouldn't rule out three. Like, and I think,
plus, you're not fading a running back in the draft because you signed out Algier.
No, but just you have a, I don't know if it's a need right now for them as much as.
No, they need a lot of help.
Yeah.
They need a lot of help.
Like, I would be comfortable with, you know, what is it? It's Benson, James Conner, Algier. Like, do you need to add Jeremiah Love to that room? Like,
do they keep Benson?
I thought they did.
I know Conner and Algier for sure. I'm not sure on Benson. I think they might have got a rid of Benson, but I'm not 100% sure. Simpson, yes, at quarterback. I'm not even sure who else would be in play. Simpson will be the second quarterback drafted. And then Dallas, I've been reading that they might try to trade up for David Bailey.
I saw that.
Yeah. And Caleb Dallas potentially too.
So. How do you feel about that? AJ's our resident Cowboy dude.
I would love that. Really, I want Caleb Dallas, but like, for if they could try to get David Bailey, like if they trade with Tennessee, that would be nice. But because I don't think they would get him at six. But I've seen like a hypothetical trade, like trading 12 and 20 for 6 and 39 with Cleveland, because okay. It looks like Cleveland wants to get out of that spot. I would like that. Honestly.
See, I wouldn't want to trade up and then not get a second pick. Right. I think the Cowboys have some holes, so that scenario makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I wouldn't be opposed to them trading Pickens as an outside observer. I know you probably wouldn't like that.
I don't think that's going to happen, though. That's been tongue-in-cheek, because if they trade him, they'll get two first-round picks back. So that's why his value hasn't been there, too.
Stephen Jones said today on The Fan that they've gotten no calls.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, who knows?
That's too much for – like, the thing that I struggle with is from a salary cap perspective of paying that much money to two wide receivers.
Yeah, look what's going on in Cincinnati.
Yeah, like, perfect example.
It's limiting what they can do on their roster. Having Higgins and Chase on the team.
It does help Dallas, though, that they have two first-round picks and could go defense and get them cheap for 4 years. So that would help, but I think it's difficult in the NFL to pay receivers top money, two receivers top money. Let's take a look at the top questions around the NFL ahead of the draft. 713-780-3776, Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
29-degree draft beer served in frosted mugs, made from scratch, comfort food, wall-to-wall TVs with every game, every fight, and every big moment. That's what you get when you go to Twin Peaks. They got burgers stacked high and cooked to order. They got their smoked in-house wings and brisket, as well as signature cocktails and ice-cold drafts. They got happy hour deals. Everything you want is at Twin Peaks. You can watch UFC, boxing, football, basketball. If it's on, it's going to be there. They got those massive screens with the perfect sight lines that you need. It's great for game day watch parties and event nights. It's always a good time at Twin Peaks. The food's incredible. The beer, always cold and good. It's your lodge away from home. Come hungry, leave victorious. Cold beer, hot wings, and the best views in the game. Twin Peaks, eats, drinks, scenic views.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
All right, what are the biggest questions ahead of the NFL draft? It's coming up soon. Now that the WNBA draft is over, we can really focus in.
And lock in.
On the NFL, because that was stealing our draft attention.
Oh, yeah.
The comments added four.
All the mock drafts.
Four pillars.
All the UCLA players that went.
Two Bruins are going to be, well, we'll see if they're Houston Comets or not. But they still got a year in Connecticut. You know where they play their games?
No idea.
The more you know with Jeremy and Joe.
Where do they play?
The Mohegan Sun Casino
in
Uncasville, Connecticut.
That's right. That's because they're named after a casino.
They're named after Mohegan Sun.
Yeah.
I think it's in Uncasville. I've been there a few times, actually.
Which is?
It's a good place to play basketball games because you stay in the Yeah, you stay in the casino hotel.
That's cool.
You walk through the casino to go to the arena.
It's just
kind of like the players era in Vegas.
It's so strange to have a team named after a brand. It's not very common. Like, there's the Sun, and there's the FC Red Bulls or whatever they are.
New York Red Bull.
Just the New York Red Bull.
Yeah,
that's weird.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's other examples.
I think that might be the only ones.
I mean, you see it in F1, really. I mean, F1, the team's named after the company, right? Mercedes, well,
yeah,
Ferrari,
for sure. Yeah, but that's a little different. Like, that's what you're driving for the most part.
Well.
Is there a Red Bull team?
There, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they have two teams, actually. They have the Red Bull and they have the Racing Bulls.
Interesting.
I'm a big F1 guy.
I know you are.
Yeah, I expand my horizons when it comes to sport. You're very vanilla. You're very American. You don't like golf. Well, you don't like tennis. You don't like F1. Well, what other European? You don't like soccer.
You asked this question yesterday, kind of tongue in cheek.
I'm cultured.
Of what are we going to do if the Astros suck?
Yeah.
All summer, and I was thinking about that after the show on the drive home.
Yeah.
It's like I'm going to get an F1. I'm going to get an F1.
Yeah, you might as well.
I'll be watching the highlight games. And
do you watch Drive to Survive?
No,
Survive is a great gateway into F1. Yeah. I'm obviously tongue in cheek here. I don't watch full races, but I'll keep up with it.
Yeah, I'm going to watch Drive to Survive.
Watch the highlights.
And I'm going to get up early on.
No, I just watch the highlights when you wake
up.
It's not worth waking up early over. No, it's not worth waking up early over. So here are the top questions ahead of the NFL draft. Can Kyler Murray be Minnesota's next Sam Darnold?
I mean, it's a good question. I don't know if it's the number one question like they have listed here.
Yeah, I mean, just, I mean.
I don't.
Are these going from biggest to smallest?
I'll tell you, I think the answer is no.
It's hard for me to completely give up on Kyler Murray, the greatest current athlete walking planet Earth. He's the only person currently that's active in their sport that was drafted in the first round of two different sports. He's the greatest current athlete that is on this Earth.
He is.
It's hard for me to give up on that guy, especially Joe. With Kevin O'Connell. You know how I feel about Kevin O'Connell.
Good coach.
I'm a huge fan of Kevin O'Connell. Mm-hmm. If any, this is, I think, Kyler's like last real chance.
For sure.
If there was any, if I were a quarterback in Kyler's itty bitty shoes, I'd have to downsize. But if I were in his little itty bitty shoes, there would be three coaches I would want to work with more than anybody. And Kevin O'Connell is one of the three.
And then McVay and Shanahan.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Murray is interesting because. If he does have great success, is that his contract's only for a year? He could bail, like
they could tag him.
He also could he could be the heir apparent to Stafford if he was like really good.
Oh, interesting.
If it goes well in Minnesota,
why would he leave Minnesota though?
Why did Daniel Jones leave? Well, I guess they have McCarthy.
If Kyler Murray plays so good that he's the guy and he's going to get paid by a team, I don't think he would leave the place that he was able to get it at.
And I would assume because of Darnold and Jones that the Vikings would not let it happen a third time.
You know what kind of intrigues me, though? I don't know how it's going to translate to wins and losses. And look, I'm kind of kidding about Kyler. I think he's uber talented. I'm not sure he's a winning quarterback, though. But if anybody can bring it out of him, I think Kevin O'Connell is one of the top three guys. You know what's incredibly intriguing to me? Kyler to Justin Jefferson.
Oh, yeah.
What if Justin Jefferson is to Kyler Murray what Randy Moss was to, like, Randall Cunningham, Warren Moon, and Dante Culpepper? Mm-hmm. And, like, I'm not putting Jefferson in the Moss class, but Justin Jefferson, when right, is a top two receiver in the NFL.
Yeah, it's not even debatable.
The only one that I would have ahead of him is Chase.
Fair.
The only one that I would, like, unanimously, no doubt about it, from a talent perspective, have above Jefferson is Chase. And Jefferson has outshined him in seasons. He's had better seasons than Chase.
And the reason why I think a lot of people lean Jefferson, and honestly, like, kind of why I also lean Jefferson, is the quality of quarterback play. Now, Burrow misses a lot of games, and Chase still performs in those. But Sam Darnold, as good as he was in Minnesota, Daniel Jones, like whoever was out there, Kirk Cousins, have never been the quality of quarterback as Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
And so, like, if Kyler is the guy you think he was going to be coming out of college with Justin Jefferson and who's the other receiver?
Addison.
Jordan Addison, who's always in trouble, but seems to be eligible for this year of football, at least at the moment. Like, if he can be what he's supposed to be, they're going to be a playoff team next year.
That's bold.
They were a game under 500 with J.J. McCarthy.
Right, but how can you hate on Kyler and be like, oh, yeah, they're a playoff team?
Because he's going to be better than JJ.
Yeah, it's true.
If he's healthy, like if he stays healthy, they will win 10 games this year.
See, I'm not sure he's the next Sam Darnold, but I think he's the next Daniel Jones.
Okay.
Like maybe a Daniel Jones that stays healthy too. And look, maybe I'm describing the same thing. But like Darnold, it's hard to say Darnold because Darnold the very next year went to Seattle and won a Super Bowl. You know what I mean?
So could he be more Baker?
Yeah.
Who's had a really good career since, like, hasn't got to the peak of what Darnold has done, but he's been a $30 million a year quarterback.
Yes.
Bunch of different stops, and then finally finds his home.
Yeah.
And now he's just the dude unquestioned in Tampa Bay.
Yeah. Like, you go from being that quarterback who, like, oh, he's got a chance to be a top seven quarterback in the league when he's drafted, and then, like, oh, he didn't hit that, you know, mark. It didn't come to fruition. And then he kind of settles in as a, you know, top 16 quarterback in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kyler can certainly be that. Darnold was that. Baker was that. Daniel Jones kind of that as well. Like, they didn't hit their, you know, their peak of what it was expected to be. Even, like, you can even call it their potential. Like, we draft these guys, we think they're going to be top seven quarterbacks in the NFL. And they don't hit that, so they fall out of favor, and they're probably making too much money, and then they, you know, get recycled, and it turns out, well, they're still pretty good. They're still easily top 20. Is Aaron Rodgers returning to Pittsburgh?
I think the answer is yes.
Yeah, I do too.
I was talking to the...
You have sauces?
No, but I was listening to it, and...
You sound so defeated when you answered that.
I don't have sources. I don't want to be in that game.
I don't either.
I don't want to be in that
People
game.
Give me stuff, and I don't want it.
I don't want it. Like,
I don't know. I don't want to play that game. I'm not a beat reporter. Those guys are nerds, except for McTaggart. He's the best.
I was talking to the guy from Locked On Steelers a little bit, because I was just curious. And because he had this point that Aaron Rodgers has been, like, adamant that when he retires, you're never going to hear from him again. And this offseason, he's still been doing, like, the McAfee appearances and everything like that. Like, he's still around. He's still a thing in the NFL. So if you take him for his word that, like, as long as he's somewhat active in the media, you can't rule out a retirement.
A lot of people, though, struggle taking him for his word.
Fair. But I think he's going to be. I would imagine the Steelers, though, want an answer on draft day.
I think there's already an agreement. I think there was an agreement last year between Rodgers and the Steelers, not like a literal contract agreement, but I think there was a under the table handshake. I'm going to be your quarterback.
Yeah.
Here's the price. And I think the Steelers operated on draft day like they already knew that. And I think the Steelers already know that again and will operate on draft day like they already know it again.
I know he's a Pittsburgh guy, and that's why you brought him home, Mike McCarthy.
Yeah.
But come on. If the answer is no, is Will Howard the guy? Or are they going the Ty Simpson route, or I guess Mason Rudolph is still on the roster.
See, that'd be a good clue.
Like, because I would rather just run Will Howard out there for a year and see what you got, and then go into next year's draft and focus on quarterback. Like, I would pass on Ty Simpson if I was a Steelers.
I also think they would have been in the game for one of these veteran quarterbacks.
Agreed. They might have been in the Kyler game.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, they would have been in the game for one of these veteran quarterbacks. I think they already have a deal in place. They just haven't actually discussed it. Let's get to the rest of these top questions ahead of the draft when we come back. Questions you might have as well ahead of the NFL draft. Now that the WNBA draft is behind us, we can really zero in on the NFL draft. 713-780-ESPN, Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2. You know what's going on right now? Truck month at Monument Chevrolet. It is back. They extended truck month all the way until April. How about that? You can get the best deal of your lifetime on a Silverado 1500. The 2026 editions, every color, every trim, is going for the big discount reserved to top Chevy sellers. The supplier discount right now, this is the biggest discount they've ever offered to the public. It's the bulk discount that only the big buyers normally receive. Well, now you can act like a big buyer with the supplier discount, and you can get unbelievable savings. So if you've had one single thought about a new truck, and who doesn't have those thoughts, then you need to get over to Monument Chevrolet and take advantage of Truck Month with the supplier discount. When you stop by Beltway 8 and 225, make sure you say hello to GM Jeff. GM Jeff is looking for you. He's the best in the customer service game, so make sure you say hello. He's going to take care of you. He's going to get you in that truck that you want at the price you want it at. But Monument Chevrolet has been in the Houston area for 50 years. It's been that long, huh? Five decades, and they've helped so many people get into new vehicles, and then they keep coming back because they love their experience at Monument Chevrolet. Why do they love the experience? Well, their deals, first and foremost, like Truck Month supplier discount, but the family feel, the friendly atmosphere. It's still family owned after all these years. They hire great people, which leads to a fantastic culture. So get on over there, 225 and Beltway 8. Check out their full inventory at monumentchevrolet.com, monumentchevrolet.com. You're going to get a fair deal, a transparent deal, and a no-hassle deal, and you're going to get a deal of a lifetime with a supplier discount with Truck Month going on right now at Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet together, let's drive.
ESPN 97.5. It's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe, I'm Jeremy, talking about the top NFL questions. Junkie, say anything smart yet?
Oh, not really.
I knew it. 713-780-ESPN. What are the Eagles going to do with A.J. Brown?
Trade him.
When?
Draft day.
I think we'll see it. I think we'll see a draft week. I think it's going to be a trade that happens before the draft. Like before the draft kicks off.
I think it's still Pats?
Yeah.
I don't really know who else would be.
Yeah.
Patriots is the most obvious.
Yeah.
You think they get a first?
Yeah, I do.
I mean, it's pick 31, right?
So, I don't know if it'll be this year first, though.
Or 32, sorry.
I think it might be a future first.
Really?
I could see something like that. I can even see like a 2 seconds. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think that they're waiting until after June 1st because the salary cap.
You think they were going to wait until then?
Yeah.
Oh, that would make sense.
Yeah. That's been something that's
Speculated. So that it wouldn't even be, so
it wouldn't even be announced this
week. Next year.
There you go.
That would make sense.
Wait till the new league year.
But Patriots make sense. Maybe the Niners?
Nah.
You don't think so?
Nah.
I think they're just going to roll out Pearsall and...
I mean, they signed Evans.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, they signed Evans. And they signed Christian Kirk.
They did?
Yeah.
Christian Kirk's a Niner. I missed that one.
Yeah, I drafted him the other day to put in my Brock Purdy stack.
Okay.
Like, literally the last round. I got Christian... Actually, might not have been last round. He's like somewhere 18th or 20th. Yeah, I got him in my 49er stack.
When are they going to cut Ayuk?
I don't know. That's another interesting question. Like, what does his value look like, too? I don't know.
$0?
Somebody will pay him.
Like, what was Randy traded for to the Patriots? Was like a fourth round
pick? Yeah, it was like a fourth or fifth. I think a fourth.
Yeah. Like, I kind of wonder if you could get him for like a fifth.
I mean, I don't think so because his contract.
Because
no one's going to want to pay his contract. I think there will be a long line of teams to sign him.
Once he's free.
But no one's going to want to pay that contract. So that's what probably the huge hang up. What happens with Max Crosby?
I think he stays.
Yeah, I do too.
I think that's over now. Until maybe next offseason.
Mm-hmm. How much work did the Chiefs have to do on defense?
A lot. I mean, they lost, their entire secondary to the Rams? They traded one corner signed, and then didn't one of their safeties also sign with the Rams?
It's interesting to
see at least two of them did.
Drafting so high. You know?
Yeah, it's weird. Seeing them in it with a top 10 pick.
Yeah, see, a lot of people are like, oh, they're going to draft receiver for Pat Mahomes. I think that
the shrewd move
is to probably just beef up that defense.
Yeah, because now they have two picks in the first round. So they could you could go defense late.
You could go defense.
You go defense or defense and then go offense
at
29.
Yeah.
But, there's a bunch of corners going off the board typically when you look at mock drafts between where they pick at 29 and 32. So they could just replace one of their corners.
See, I wouldn't, if I'm KC, I wouldn't hate going defense and getting two first round dudes in there and then spending resources on offense because Reed's so good at finding gems.
Yeah.
Like he finds some, Tyreek Hill had off the field issues that made him available late, but he's good at finding those gems. Is Tua going to revive his career in Atlanta?
No.
I think he's toast. Is Houston finally solving its offensive line issues?
They've improved it, but I don't think it's solved.
Yeah, I mean, define solved. I think it's a kind of a loaded
I think
question.
Solved. How many of these guys will for sure be here in 2 years?
Of the starters?
Of your starters.
Ursary.
Okay. And Ed Ingram?
I mean, Ed Ingram was a 3-year deal.
Yeah, so I feel like he could
I don't even know if that's a lock. Because that third year is probably non-guaranteed. They could easily get out of it if he's not great in year two.
And I still keep seeing guys who do the mock drafts, talking left tackle for the Texans at 28, where they might want to improve. So it could be zero right now. So that's why I don't think it's solved, because you don't have any long-term investments for sure at this moment on your offensive
Teller,
line.
Teller, no. I mean, you're trying to out-recruit Andrews, you know?
Yeah.
They could draft a center this draft that starts next year. Ingram's under contract, but will he still be here in that third year? He would be your second best option behind Ursary.
Because
Smith is a 2-year deal.
It's a 2-year deal.
Brown was a 1-year deal.
Yeah, so I don't think it's solved, but it's improved.
It's more
it looks like
a
on
bridge.
Paper. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they do the bridge forever. You know?
It's very possible. I mean, you think at some point you'd want to drafted. Now, if they don't draft a left tackle in the first round, then I think that means, you know, either best player available wasn't there for them, or they do like what they have in Ursary. You could draft a center in this draft and have two of your three locked up for the foreseeable future.
I think it's very hard to have five pillars on your offensive line locked in for the foreseeable future. I think it's almost impossible. Now, the more you have, the better, and then you bridge the other positions.
Yeah, I think you'd want to have, like, in a perfect world, like three. Like three of the five kind of locked in for
Well, Cowboys line, like 3-4 years ago was pretty stout, right? When was their last really good? It was like 3-4 years ago. They drafted the rookie out of Tulsa, played him at guard.
Tyler Smith.
I always want to say Johnson, but Tyler Smith. He played guard for a little bit, right?
Yeah, he's still guard. Yeah, right now.
He's still a guard. Because there was always talk that he could eventually
sometimes
move to tackle.
Tackle
has he played tackle?
He's played it a little bit. He's preferred at the guard position.
So whenever they had that really good line 3-4 years ago, how many of them were like fixtures?
I mean, of course, you know, that's when Zach Martin was there, but Tyron Smith, too.
Yeah.
But, like, they've added to that, too, nowadays with Tyler Booker. I think he's a guy that's right there in there, yeah.
Texans wanted Booker.
Yeah, they did.
They wanted him bad. Yeah. I think it's hard to have fixtures at every position, but the Texans only have, like, one.
Yeah, I'd love to have – you want to have – I think three is the perfect number to have, but at least two.
Yeah, they have one. So, I wouldn't put tackle past them.
No, I wouldn't either.
And then you kind of figure out where they're going to play for the, you know, short term or whatever. Are the Chargers doing enough to make Justin Herbert's life easier?
I mean, the health is making it a little easier.
I don't think it's a fair question because they were so banged up on the offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, your left tackle and your right tackle coming back. You brought in the left guard this year. Like, you've addressed the offensive line. You have, I would say, good skill. Like, I like their wide receiver room for the most part. I like Omarion Hampton. So I think they've done it a good job so far of making life easier for them.
Yeah. No, I think they have a chance to be pretty good.
I mean, they can't help them from choking in the playoffs, but they can help them get there.
B. Hannon's not going to be happy that you said that.
It's the truth. Sorry.
He's never won a playoff game.
Never has.
Had a big lead against Trevor Lawrence.
Had a good lead against the Texans, too, didn't he?
Yeah.
Right, they were up early in that game.
Yeah, I don't think it was a big lead.
No, you're right. No,
Herbert threw three picks in that game, too.
You're right.
Yeah, Texans kind of controlled that game. They had no issues in that game. They had no problem being Justin Herbert. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Rafael Stone did a little Q&A with the new guy at the Houston Chronicle. He had some very interesting things to say. He regretted some comments. It may be taking a shot at you, Joe. Maybe taking a shot at you, Rafael Stone. 713-780-ESPN. It's Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2. Whatever Rafael Stone had to say, I really hope that Rafael Stone's using Ownwell. Ownwell.com can save Rafael Stone of those heavy, costly property taxes. They can save you and me of those heavy, costly property taxes. They keep going up year after year. They're getting too expensive. You're just like, hey, I'm just going to give up. They can just keep raising the prices. I'm not going to do anything about it. Uh-uh. That shouldn't be you, but you don't have the time to head to the courtroom, deal with these appraisers, maybe hire a lawyer. Well, don't worry about doing that. Just go to Ownwell. Ownwell.com has your back. You're going to head to Ownwell. You're going to fill out some information. It's going to take you 3 minutes. That's it. 180 seconds, 3 minutes. It's all you need, and Ownwell is going to start fighting for you. See how much they can save you, too. Ownwell makes saving money on property taxes easy year after year. And just because your tax bill stayed the same doesn't mean that it's right. The market has shifted big time, and there's still a good chance you're paying more than you should. So Ownwell has your back. Have you recently remodeled? Well, counties track permits and use them to justify raising your home's taxable value, so keep that in mind. Ownwell, though, is going to save you tons of money. I used Ownwell last year. They saved me some money. Thank you, Ownwell. I'm using Ownwell again this year. They're projecting me to save even more money this year as well. So I'm thankful for Ownwell. You should be using them as well. In fact, if you just want to do the responsible thing, you should be using Ownwell. Ownwell saved Brazoria County homeowners with homes in the 500 to 750K range more than two times what they saved by using other firms. They're better than everybody else. Harris County, Ownwell delivered an average net savings 21 to 51% higher than competitors. Ownwell is superior. New customers can expect to save on average $774 a year by signing up. So what are you waiting for? Do you want to save money this property tax season? Of course you do, and that's why you need Ownwell. Don't wait. Deadline to protest May 15th for most counties. Save money on your property taxes with Ownwell. Sign up in less than 3 minutes at Ownwell.com. That's Ownwell.com. Let them know Branham sent you when you complete your sign up at Ownwell.com.
This is ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We're Jeremy and Joe. AJ here with us today, filling in for Brian the Brain. Brian the Brain's going to be out with Glenn Davis at Senate Ave Brewing this evening, 6 o'clock start. They'll be dropping the puck at 6. Probably not the best analogy to use for a soccer show. But first kick at 6 for soccer matter. Are you paying attention to me, Joe?
Yeah, first kick at 6.
What was the first thing I said?
You talked about Senate Avenue and Brian being there.
What was my first analogy to start their show? I knew you weren't listening.
Just replying to an email. That's important.
I knew. Yeah, yeah. You couldn't have done it during the commercial break.
I just got the email.
Could have done it during the break.
I told you.
I knew you weren't listening.
I made a big boo-boo almost. I had to fix
it. This is how you get treated around here. Listen to me as much as my wife. 713-780 ESPN. She's lovely, though. Lovely wife. You're not that lovely. You're not as lovely as she is. Anyways, Rafael Stone did a Q&A with the Houston Chronicle. I said drop the puck, by the way. Rafael Stone did a Q&A with the Houston Chronicle, which he answered some questions, a little one-on-one with, I forget his name, Veneer?
Varun?
Varun. I'm a little dyslexic. So when I said Veneer, you said Varun. It makes sense.
Yeah.
Kind of adds
I
up
think
there.
It's Varun.
Well, look, I'm raw dogging the show. What does raw dogging the show mean? I forgot my computer in my dining room today because I'm ADHD. Mm-hmm. And I'm very forgetful, and I was way more concerned with my steak and my eggs than I was my backpack, which had my computer in my
good
headphones.
Reason.
Which I think it's gone fine. I think
yeah,
it's
doing,
swimmingly.
King
of Twitch,
great.
You guys can't do shows without a computer. I'm doing a show right now, King of Twitch, without a computer. What are you doing? You're hanging out with your computer and your phone in your mother's basement without a job. That's what you're doing, King of Twitch.
Yeah, he's not in the chat.
Oh, he's listening.
I know.
He's always listening.
He's always texting.
Yeah, he's always telling us how great we are. Anyways, questions. Here's a few things from this little Q&A. A great job from the Houston Chronicle. You said it was Veneer?
Varun.
Varun, my bad. You said, this was a question from Varun. You said after the trade deadline that there were moments because of those injuries that you thought, quote, is this just not our year, end of quote, but that the team's performance at that point made you think that wasn't the case. Couple months after that, how do you feel about the comment and the team's upside? So this is something that you always bring up here, Joe.
Yeah, I do.
So I think Rafael Stone might be a listener of Jeremy and Joe, because Rafael Stone answered, I regret the comment because I'm aware enough to know that multiple people have taken it out of context, including Joe George, and used it extraordinarily inappropriately. Joe George. Extraordinarily inappropriately. Used it in the opposite of the way it was meant. Shame on them. But so because of that, I regret it. The concept behind it, I still agree with, which is that this team has been super competitive all year, and I'm happy for them and happy with the overall group's progress and excited to see what we can do in the playoffs.
Okay. So,
now, Joe, he called you extraordinarily inappropriately.
Well, to be honest with you,
extraordinarily inappropriate.
I'm not as arrogant as others on Twitter that think they were literally talking about him, them, because I've seen that happening.
Who?
Roosh? He straight up said, like, he thinks he's talking, like...
He probably did. Roosh is probably one of them. I believe
Oh, I'm
is.
Sure, but multiple people.
I bet you Roosh is one of the multiple.
I'll say this, like, my opinion does not change. Those are not words that should come out of a general manager's mouth. Like, I know he regrets it, but I hope he's only talking about the media.
I don't mind the quote, actually. I didn't mind the quote.
I just don't think it's something that GM says, you know?
Is this just not our year? I mean, people say that all the time, though.
I don't think you say it publicly.
I mean, the moment that you're a team that is not contending and you start trading pieces for younger players or prospects, that is an admission of is just not our year.
Sure, sure.
Actions speak louder than words. Like, I have no issue with Rafael Stone saying, is this just not our year? I had the same thought at the deadline. This is why I argue with you about Alvarado. It's like, what's the point of trading assets for Jose Alvarado whenever your team is capped out at a first or second round exit because of the injuries you have? I had the same thought Rafael Stone had.
Yeah, and normally it's just those are the actions that the GM makes, right? If you think your team is, you know, close to being a contender or can win a championship, you go out and you make splash moves. If you don't, then you typically are quiet at the deadline. You keep your assets in house.
Yeah, you're what?
Like, your assets. Yep.
Yeah. No, I think you're right.
But, like, I shame on them. He's upset.
He's mad at you. He called you. That's a weird way to put that, too. Extraordinarily inappropriate.
Yeah. I think there's also
he likes to talk.
He does.
He uses some big words and he goes on and on, which I kind of like how he talks though.
Yeah, I mean, it's like there are a lot of people that like felt the way I did, so I get why he's upset about it, but
yeah.
And he hears the Twitter noise.
No, he hears it. Everybody hears it.
Well, because I mean, his wife's like very active on
Twitter. Oh yeah, she is.
Yeah.
She likes some of my stuff from time to time.
Yeah. Not me. I don't tweet about The Rock as a ton, but
yeah. So anyways, that's one of them. Was the KD trade worth it? Because this has been a conversation going around lately. The Rockets didn't get better, even though they finished with the same record. But Rafael Stone, yeah, we're happy with Kevin. I think he's been the player we would expect. We hoped we hope to get, and very glad that he's going to be here. That we have an extension. I think he's happy here, and we're happy with him. Okay, we're all happy with Kevin Durant.
Yeah, why would anyone regret that trade?
Because you have these talking heads like, the Rockets didn't get better with Kevin Durant and he's not a true leader.
Yeah, but like Chris Broussard, like he's not watching the Rockets.
No, they're just getting their hot take artists. Kevin Durant's a big name. So whenever you say Kevin Durant didn't help the Rockets, what does it do? It gets impression, clicks, it gets engagement. People fall for it. People are like, look at this idiot, which leads to more people seeing it. It's the whole world we live in currently.
Yeah.
Big name. Say something negative about the big name. People are going to get mad at you, which leads to impressions, which leads to engagement, which leads to views, which leads to clicks. And it's all this vicious circle, but we just play it along. Tomorrow or Friday when we do Bad Take Boulevard, guess who's going to be on there? So they got us too. Mm-hmm. They got us. Their clickbait worked on us. And then the last one was about Dorian Finemis, but I couldn't write all of it because he said so much. He went on and on and on about Dorian Finney-Smith, and you know what he was doing here? He was defending his signing because he's like, well, you know, he was hurt. You can't predict it. We still think that he's got value in this organization. We still think he's going to help us in the at the end of the day. So he defended his signing of Dorian Finney-Smith, and he thinks that Dorian Finney-Smith is still going to help him while he's under contract with the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, that's I'm not going to agree with that one.
You're going to trash that?
I'm going to trash that.
Throw that one right in the trash.
Because trash. He's not hurt still. I don't think.
He's healthy enough to play.
But he doesn't play.
Yeah, I mean, he could be recovering from the injury, but he's lousy. He's not any good. I mean, it was a bad free agent acquisition.
I have zero expectation for him next year, and I hope he's not on this roster.
I think it's going to be difficult for him not to be on this roster.
Well, if you're trying to trade for like a Giannis, like you might be able to include him as salary filler.
I think I'm more out on that today than I was a month ago.
Is it because of everything that's happening around Giannis right now with the?
No. I don't care about that. It feels like they're more content with running it back mostly. Like, hey,
I think they are too.
We didn't have Fred. We didn't have Adams. Let's bring back Fred and Adams and then add them to this rotation that did win 52 games. And like, let's see what it looks like next year. And then maybe, I don't know if they would have room to do anything in the offseason. Probably not. So I think they run it back. I think they run it back with the same team, and their additions are Fred VanVleet and Steven Adams.
I think they're going to make a move. I just don't know if it's going to be the big move that we want them to make. That like I want them to trade for Giannis.
All right, so what would a medium move look like?
Trading Jabari for a veteran player that fits this roster a little bit better?
I don't see it. I think they like Jabari. Jabari can defend multiple positions. He's a really good three-point shooter. His offense has evolved.
So just bring in a free agent then to
I don't even know if they can afford a free agent.
They have to have some level of cap space, right? If Tari walks, I would imagine.
Yeah, well, he's not making much.
No, he's not making – you're right. Yeah, I feel like – I mean, I get why they would do it if you really believe in this core. I don't think this core is going to win a championship because of where the Thunder and the Spurs are at. So I would want to add to it in some capacity.
Are they winning a championship with Giannis with where the Thunder and Spurs are at?
I think they've got a better chance.
I don't know that they do. I think their team next year would be better. Like if you went scenario Giannis, scenario no Giannis, I think scenario Giannis is a better team than scenario no Giannis.
Sure.
I don't know that their odds really increase to win the NBA title because of who they're in the conference and in the league with.
Yeah.
I think their odds would stay relatively the same, even though they're bringing in a big name like Giannis, or at least our chances of them, what we think of their chances of winning a title. Like, I think their best chance might be to develop and grow. The issue with that, though, is the Spurs are young and the Thunder are young.
Yeah.
So, like,
the only thing that helps you with the Thunder,
their arc is better and longer than your arc.
Now, the Thunder, they're going to have to start slowly moving some assets. Like, Lou Dort's probably not going to be on the team next year because they're going to be in, you know, cap hell. Basically.
I like Lou Dort, but oh well.
Yeah, they have other guys they've drafted, and there's so much draft capital. I
mean, yeah, they're like, how are you passing the Thunder? Like, the only way you beat the Thunder is if SGA rolls his ankle ahead of game one.
I think there are other players you could go out and trade for that you can use, you know, Jabari and a DFS contract and bring in. But, like, I think you should talk to the Clippers about Kawhi.
I know I'm not a Kawhi guy.
It's a huge risk.
Yeah.
Like, he's one of the best players in the NBA this year.
Yeah, I'm worried that, A, he's going to get hurt. B, decide he wants to be hurt.
Yeah.
C, want Golden Nugget money off the table.
I have one other name then. It's a, I don't believe in Fred's going to solve all these problems. I'm calling Dallas.
Oh, for Kyrie?
For Kyrie.
That'd be interesting.
Like if you can use Jabari and Fred in a deal that lands you Kyrie Irving, I would try that.
Yeah.
Then you can keep Alpi and Amen and Reed potentially.
Yeah, I want to
trade. You can still have your young core. Like, if you can find a way to get someone like Kyrie, but also keep your young core together to build for the future, like, that to me is the ultimate win. It, like, with Giannis, like, someone's asking what we'd have to give up, what the Rockets have to give up. I think it starts with Alpi or Amen.
Yeah.
And then Jabari or Reed. Like, it's and then two of those guys, and then your draft picks are going.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. I think you'd be better suited just trying to play, like, the long game and then hoping, like, Oklahoma City crumbles because all dynasties crumble. Not to call Oklahoma City a dynasty, but, like, you know, these powerhouses crumble. You know what I mean? I think you'd be better off playing the long game with your young pieces, keeping it as intact as you can. You have these draft picks coming up, too. Maybe you can hit on a draft pick. Like, maybe you get lucky in a lottery and land with the number one pick on a, you know, a world-class draft. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think I'm more of playing the long game than, you know, going all in on Giannis. And I still don't think you're closer to a title just because I think so highly of Oklahoma City's roster and even San Antonio. Oklahoma City with all the draft picks, though, like, they can just
move guys in and out.
Retool. So, I'd hate to go all in and still be the third best team in the West.
I mean, having Brooklyn's pick in 27, who knows what next year's draft is going to look like. But Brooklyn's going to be a non-playoff team next year. It's going to be a lottery pick. Like, you're going to have a chance to win the lottery next year still and be a playoff
team. My pipe dream is you trade into the top seven and select Kingston Flemings.
This year?
Yeah, I just don't think anybody's going to do that. Yeah, Kingston Flemings is in this year's draft.
I mean, I'd be open to it. Like, would you give up your 27 picks for it?
How many of them? Two?
You have two. You have Phoenix and Brooklyn.
Let's go. Let's do it. He's your backup for Fred VanVleet.
I mean, I'd be
and
in on
he's your he's your heir apparent. He takes over eventually.
I'm fine with that.
Let's go. Let's do it.
Wish Acuff played defense.
He doesn't.
I know.
All right, 713-780-ESPN. Rocket biggest playoff question. Let's discuss that next. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2. You might have a question on what you want to do for vacation. You don't want to deal with these airports. Although the lines have gotten a little better. You still don't want to deal with it. TSA, waiting at the gate, weather delays, flight delays for various reasons. It's annoying going to the airport. You might not want to drive that far because if you've seen the gas prices, that's going to cost you an arm and a leg. Here's the best vacation idea for you. Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. It's a 90-minute drive from Houston. You're there in an hour and a half. You drive a decent car with a decent tank. That's a quarter of a tank. You're there in an hour and a half, and you can't beat it. You're going to be hiking their 92 acres of property in no time. Kayak in their water, play a little pickleball, hang out by the pool with a drink, swampers with a drink. Also, that water park coming soon. We're less than a month away from the water park opening. Only a few weeks, actually. Blue Bayou Bend opening May 1st. The grand opening, official grand opening, is on May 9th. It's going to be so much fun. They got all the stays for you. They got glamping for you. They got waterfront cabins right on the creek. They have a treehouse out there. You walk up the steps into a house that's perched on a tree. Or if you have an RV, bring the RV. They have RV hookup spots for you. You're going to love it. Escape the city. Enjoy the relaxing great outdoors. Mother Nature's intended to be open green spaces, wildlife. If you like to fish, they got some great fishing. The two creeks alongside their property. And they got a catch and release pond for you, too. It's a great way to teach the kiddos how to fish. And they're always taking care of you. At Easter weekend a couple of weeks ago, that crawfish boil. They got the spring fishing tournament coming up. The chuck wagon dinner. They're always doing something for you because they believe in Southern hospitality. So book your stay now, TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com. You're there in an hour and a half at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. Book that stay, TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.